Psalm 103. Mbonge uJehova mphefumulo wami. Gonke okuphakathi kwami makubonge igama lakhe elingcwele. Mbonge uJehova mphefumulo wami. Ungakhohlwa imisebenzi yonke yakhe yomusa. Yena othethelela zonke izono zakho, owelapha zonke izifo zakho, okhulula ukuphila kwakho ekubhujisweni, okuqhelisa ngomusa nangobubele. Ya.
Jesus is calling you.
The heaven of the children.
Okay.
Okay.
Where I am now. Someone three verse.
Emanguzi.
I'm in verse 5. Number 5 now. Osuthisa ukulangazela kwakho ngokuhle. Ubusha bakho bubuyiswe njengokhozi. UJehova ubenzela bonke abacindezelwayo ukulunga nokwahlulela. Wamazisa uMosi izindlela zakhe. Nabantwana bakaIsrayeli izenzo zakhe. UJehova unebubele nesihawu. Wephuza ukuthukuthela, uvama umusa. Akathethi njalo njalo. Akagcini intukuthelo yakhe kuze kube phakade. Akasiphathi njengokufanele izono zethu. Akasivuzi njengokwamacala ethu. Ngokuba njengokuphakama kwezulu phezu komhlaba, unjalo umusa wakhe phezu kwabamesabayo. Njengokuba impumalanga yahlukene nentshonalanga, udedisile kangaka kithi iziphambeko zethu. Njengoyise ehawukela abantwana bakhe, kanjalo uJehova uyabahawukela abamesabayo. Ngokuba uyakwazi ukubunjwa kwethu. Uyakhumbula ukuthi siluthuli. Izinsuku zomuntu zinjengotshani. Uyakhahlela njengembali yasendle. Ngokuba umoya wakho uyadlula phezu kwayo.
Okay, you can continue. I'm getting blessed. No? I'm enjoying this.
Kepha umusa kaJehova uphezu kwabamesabayo. Kwaphakade kuze kube phakade. 17 now. Umusa wakhe uphezu kwabamesabayo kwaphakade kuze kube phakade. Nokulunga kwakhe kubantwana babantu, kubantwana babantwana, kubo abagcina isivumelwano sakhe, bekhumbula isiyalezo sakhe ukuba bazenze iyalezo zakhe. UJehova umisile isihlalo sakhe sobukhosi ezulwini. Numbuso wakhe ubusa phezwa kwakonke. Bongani uJehova nina. Zingelosi zakhe. Nina maqhawe. Anamandla. Enenza okwezwi lakhe. Nilalela ukukhuluma kwamazwi akhe. Bongani uJehova nina. Mabandla onke akhe. Nina zinceku zakhe. Enenza intando yakhe. Bongani uJehova nina. Misebenzi yakhe yonke. Ezindaweni zonke zombuso wakhe. Mbonge uJehova mphefumulo wakhe.
So we must not forget any of his benefits.
He
forgives all our sins and heals all of our diseases. And he crowns our heads with loving kindness. Our Father has put a crown on your head. The crown is loving kindness. As far as the east is from the west, he removes your sins from you. You see, we are sons of God. Men and women are sons of God. God took an oath to Abraham. He said, I swear by myself, I will bless your seed. In Galatians 3:29 says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and an heir according to the promise. We are a royal priest. We are a royal priesthood. Royal. Under the old covenant, they were the Levi priests. In the new covenant, Peter the apostle calls us royal priests. We now belong to the royal line of the King of Kings. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter
2
that when a Jew comes to Jesus and passes into Christ, a Jew is no longer a Jew. When a Gentile comes to Christ and passes into Christ, they're no longer a Gentile. They are one new man. A new creation. A royal nation. A holy nation. Citizens of heaven. Ambassadors of Christ. Born from above. When an Italian comes to Jesus,
it's
no more Italian. He's a new creature. He's a new man. When a white little boy from Pantan comes to Jesus, I'm no longer a white South African. I am one new man. A new creation. When a Zulu comes to Christ, comes into Christ, no more a Zulu. One new man. A new creation. Now your culture is the culture of the kingdom. Now you are a holy nation. Yeah. That's what Ephesians 2 says. It said, at the cross, Jesus removed the dividing wall of hostility. And when different nationalities come to Christ, and they come through
Christ,
they become one new man. We are a holy nation in Christ. That's why the prophets of the Old Testament declare that the mountain of the Lord shall be chief among the mountains. And the mountains will come to the mountain of the Lord. They're not coming to a Jewish mountain. They're not coming to an Australian mountain. They're not coming to a Zulu mountain. They're coming to a holy mountain of the people of God that are in Christ. Amen.
Sure.
And so it is so wonderful to be here this morning again. Did you have a good night's sleep, I hope? And we are so happy you are here. Because we've got good news. That we believe that you can spread to many thousands of people. The church today does not need great preachers. It needs humble fathers and mothers. Who love the people of God. Who serve the people of God. We do not use people to serve our ministries. We use our ministries to serve the church. When we know that we are sons of God, then we can be secure to serve. The church needs fathers and mothers who are free from selfish ambition. It's not about our pride or us wanting to boast how big our ministry is. Our significance doesn't come from how big our ministry is. Our significance is from how big God's love for us is. Before Jesus began his ministry, he'd been working as a carpenter from a young man to the age of 30. He had done no miracles. He had never preached any great sermon. And he was baptized in the Jordan River. A baptism of repentance for sins. John's baptism. But Jesus had never sinned once. But he was baptizing on behalf of all of us. And when he came out of the water, the Holy Spirit came from heaven and came upon him like a dove. And the voice of the Father said, This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased.
He
had been a carpenter, working with wood and hammer. He had no big ministry, no church, a carpenter. And God was saying, this is my son. Gave him identity, son. My beloved son. Beloved, gave him acceptance. Accept him. I'm well pleased. Gave him approval. But he had no big ministry, just a carpenter. This is the security a father brings to a son. You don't have to do great things for the father to love you, accept you, and approve of you. This gives a son or a daughter great security and confidence. Because Jesus was going out into the crowds that one day will say, Hosanna in the highest, the next day crucify him. People can betray church leaders. They can try and hurt church leaders. You can pour your life into people in the church and then they turn around and just leave you. And if you don't know your acceptance and the love of the Father, then you can never be, be a father and a mother to the church. You will become a religious politician. You're trying to get everybody to like you. So you don't teach the truth because you're afraid of rejection. But when you know your father says you are my beloved son or daughter.
Ukuthini ubaba ngabe uthi lo indodana yami engiyithembile engiyithandayo.
In you, I'm well pleased. You secure.
Hallelujah.
And you can do what you see your father doing. You do what your father tells you to do. You build the church according to the word of God. And you don't need a big stick to hit everybody that doesn't behave. You don't have to frighten and threaten and intimidate everyone to obey you. You become like a father and a mother in the house.
Amen.
And a father and a mother sometimes must be firm, must bring discipline. But it's not because you're frustrated. It's because you want the best for the people in the house of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I'll just quote it, save time. You can read it later. 1 Corinthians 4. Paul says to the Corinthians, you have 10,000 teachers. But you do not have many fathers. Do you know what the problem with the Corinthian church? They were very insecure. They were very confused. Some of the men were having sex with the temple prostitutes. People say today, I want to be like the early church.
Well,
which one?
Liphi.
Lots of them had problems. In the early church, there was a man having sex with his mother-in-law openly. They were getting drunk at the communion meal. They were taking one another to court. They were denominational.
The
arm of Paul, arm of Apollos. And the reason for their problem is they had an orphan heart over them and they were insecure. They had 10,000 teachers teaching them. But they lacked fathers and mothers.
No mama.
Today the church is in trouble because it doesn't have enough mothers and fathers who love the church and will preach the truth in love. See, our modern technology helps us get access to lots of sermons and information. But that does not build stability and maturity in the church. Every church needs to be connected to mothers and fathers. You know the heart of that church. They know the heart of that church. They know the condition of that church. They care about the pastors in that church. They're not using that church for their own significance. Amen. Do you know that in many years ago they used to have what was called eunuchs? Eunuchs was someone that was a man that was castrated, so he could not have sex.
Okay. Bebe ne imposha le. Imposha. I unique. Kushukuthi umthenwa, utheniwe.
See, the emperor or the king would have a big harem of women.
Inkosi ibizoba namakhosikazi amaningi.
And he would only trust the eunuch to look after his women.
Amadoda lawa atheniwe, iwona azogada abafazi benkosi.
Is this getting through?
Yes, the, okay, sure.
Because the eunuch could not take pleasure from the king's woman. Because his ministry was to prepare the woman for the pleasure of the king. New Testament ministries, we are spiritual eunuchs. We do not use the bride of Christ for our own pleasure. We are preparing the bride of Christ for the King of Kings' pleasure. So we have to protect the bride. We have to correct her when she's drifting into danger. And the greatest responsibility of mothers and fathers in the house of God is to make sure that the bride, the church, stays in grace. And does not go back under the law. Because grace is not a doctrine, grace is a person. Grace is Jesus. And the throne that Jesus sits on is called the throne of grace. And it's a government of peace and a government of rest.
umbuso wokuthula, umbuso wokuphumula.
So we're going to pray now, and then we're going to look at the word of God.
Sizothandaza manje bese sibuka izwi likaNkulunkulu.
And we're going to trust God to make it very clear.
Sizomkholwa uNkulunkulu ukuthi alenze licace leli zwi lithi pa.
Unless this message is very clear, if this message is not very clear in people's hearts and minds.
Uma lombiko ungacacile kahle einhlizweni nasengqondweni zabantu.
Then the devil takes advantage of any confusion or ignorance.
Manje uSathane bese ufuna ukuthatha indawo, afuna ukuthi ayiphambanise lento.
And he prosecutes people like a prosecuting lawyer.
Abese efuna ukubanisha abantu.
And he looks for a loophole in the case.
Ufuna intuba yekungena.
But when we as leaders are very clear about the case of Christ at the cross.
Kodwa thina njengabaholi uma secace kwathi ba ngeindaba yesiphambano.
And when we can see the very signature of God all over the new covenant.
Sesibona ukugcizelela kukaNkulunkulu la esivumelwane esisha.
And we can rightly divide the word of truth.
Bese siyakwazi ukulicalula kahle izwi leqiniso.
Then the prosecutor, the devil, can never build a case against us.
Umangalela uSathane ayikho into angayibeka ngathi.
Even if we fail and make mistakes.
Noma ke kwenzeka senza amaphutha.
Jesus is still our heavenly advocate.
UJesu usasimele.
He is our heavenly lawyer. He's our heavenly high priest. He has gone through the curtain. With an indestructible life. And he has an anchor for our soul. And he holds us stable from eternal. And he presents a perfect case of intercession before our Father. So we must be very clear as leaders. There mustn't be confusion. We believe in getting excited when we hear this message. But it's not just about excitement, it's about revelation, clarity. So that in the dark and testing times, our heart is like a compass that guides us into freedom. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I believe people need to know the clarity of why the New Testament is superior to the Moses law.
Abantu kufanele bazi ukuthi yini sithi isivumelwane esisha.
So all of these meetings are being recorded so people can play them again.
They
can study and go and check the scriptures out and read them. Don't just believe someone's telling the truth because they say it nicely.
Ungacabanga ukuthi wonke umuntu ukhuluma iqiniso ngoba uzwa kamnandi.
Be wise. There are 10,000 teachers, but not many fathers and mothers.
And
then tomorrow, we hopefully will have a time where you can ask questions and we will try to answer those questions.
For
us, the greatest joy for us will be when we leave on Friday. There are many leaders here who understand much more clearly the freedom of the new covenant.
And
can teach it very clearly. So there are passages of scripture that may you may have questions about, then we can talk about that. Because the whole of the New Testament is like a love letter from Jesus. There's no condemnation in the New Covenant. And if you read scriptures that you feel like it's condemnation,
Then
we must read it properly in its context.
And
there's nothing after the cross that condemns the people of God.
Nothing.
Before the cross, there is lots of condemnation. And we're
going
to find out why the difference. So let's pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
We ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Open our hearts with illumination, Father. Bring clarity. Let that anointing of the great teacher, the Spirit of God, teach us the Word of God. Holy Spirit, you search all things, even the deep things of God. And you search on our behalf. For Father, you have not given us the spirit of this world, but the spirit is from God, that we may understand the things that you have freely given to us. What our minds have not conceived, or our ears heard, or our eyes seen, things that you prepared for us that love you, Father. Open our hearts and minds today and over the teachings as they're recorded for many others. Lord God, through these people, let multitudes hear the good news and let the sound of freedom ring from Zululand to Lesotho and Swaziland and Mozambique, Father, across South Africa. Let this freedom spread so fast, Father. Let the clarity of this grace move across these nations, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now we can get excited and we can get happy loudly. All right, you can clap now when you want to. All right. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 7. Now we will look at some passages.
Hebrews
chapter 7. And I want to show you that the Word of God.
Hebrews chapter 7. I want to show you that the Word of God
says that the old covenant of Moses is a weak and useless covenant.
Liti, chapter 7. Liti ke lisikhombisa ukuthi isivumelwano esidala somthetho sika Moses sibuthakathaka kangakanani.
Can you believe that the Holy Spirit would write that the old covenant, law covenant, is a weak and useless covenant?
Ungayikholwa lento ukuthi lithi iBhayibheli le umthetho yishumi yayi i weak ayinamandla futhi into engelutho is useless ayilutho into engekho
ayilutho
ya into engenamsebenzi walutho
pilele finish
into engekho.
Yeah, and the new covenant says is superior based on better promises.
The superior is superior and is placed on better promises.
Yes.
Zikhomekeke esithembisweni eyingcono.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay.
It's good. Clear.
Okay.
So Sam, why would anybody want to mix all weak and useless with superior? Why? Today, the majority of the church still mixes the weak and useless covenant with the superior covenant. If you mix these covenants, they cancel each other. The old covenant law is weak and useless, and it's finished at the cross.
And
We must never mix it with the new.
Singalinge sihlanganise nezivumelwane esisha.
Okay, let's read verse 18. Hebrews 7, verse 18.
AmaHeberu 7, verse 18. Esiwafundayo manje.
The former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law made nothing perfect, and a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God.
Verse 18 lo. Hebrews 7, verse 18. Ngokuba umthetho wokuqala uyachithwa ngenxa yobuthakathaka bawo nokungasizi kwawo. Uchithelwe ukuthi ubuthakathaka futhi awusizi.
Then verse 22. Because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant.
Ngokungakho-ke, uJesu waba isiboniso sesivumelwane esingcono.
And chapter 8, verse 6. But the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is a mediator is superior to the old one, and it is founded on better promises.
Kepha kalokhu unikiwe inkonzo enhle kakhulu njengalokhu engumlamuleli wesivumelwane esihle kakhulu esimisiwe ngokwezithembiso ezinhle kakhulu.
How many want to live only in the superior covenant? Okay, why is the old covenant? Okay, yes, you told them. Why is the old covenant weak and useless? The laws, the law of God is holy. It's good. But it is powerless to help us. The old covenant is intrinsic. The old covenant is something from what we have to do. It depends on us. The old covenant depends 100% on us. James chapter 2 verse 10 says this. That if you keep part of the law, but you fail in other parts of the law, you are guilty of breaking all of the law. Galatians chapter 3 verse 10 says the same thing. It says all who rely on the law are under a curse. The law requires the law requires 100% obedience every second all the time.
Umthetho ufuna ukulalela okupheleleyo ngokupheleleyo ngaso sonke isikhathi.
It's a weak and useless covenant because it 100% relies on us.
Ubuthakathaka awunamandla awusizi ngoba ukhomekeke kubantu kithi.
If we keep the law 100%, then God will bless us. But if we fail in any small part, the law curses us. The reason the new covenant is a superior covenant
it's
the very opposite. It does not depend on us at all. The new covenant was cut outside of us. In the law covenant, God made a covenant with Israel. In the new covenant, God loved us so much that he did not make a covenant with us. He cut the covenant outside of us. The Father cut the covenant with his Son, Jesus, on the cross. And the Holy Spirit administrates the covenant. But everything that the Father cut with Christ was outside of us. But the Father included us in Christ. That's why Galatians 2 says we were crucified with Christ. Romans 6 says we were buried with Christ and raised with Christ. And Ephesians 2 says we are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. And Romans 8:16 says we are joint equal heirs with Christ and heirs of God. So everything in the new covenant had nothing to do with us. Nothing to do with us. It was a covenant cut within the infallible, faithful Trinity. It is superior. It is infinitely more superior. It is perfectly superior.
I just want to interpret infinitely. Because I don't know how to explain the thing in Zulu. But
it's a big difference. Old covenant is weak and useless. The new covenant is superior. Based on better promises. There is no comparison. They can never meet.
Hey.
You're doing good, sir. This is basic foundation of the gospel. Anything that brings the weak and useless is not the gospel. Weak and useless. Weak and useless was put to death at the cross. It is finished.
It is finished.
Sometimes it sounds so good that our minds think, oh, how can this be? You think, could this be a lie? Could this be a deception? No, Paul was a Jewish legalist religious man. He was very confident in his own flesh. He said, I was circumcised on the eighth day. He said, I am from the tribe of Benjamin. According to legalistic righteousness, I was faultless. But he said, I count all of that loss. I count my Jewish traditions and all of those religious things as dung.
Yonke lento engangikhuliswe ngayo ngicabanga ukuthi iyona yona ngifanisa nododi.
That I may gain Christ. That I may have Christ.
Ukuze ngizuze uChrist.
And a righteousness that is by faith apart from the law.
Nalokulunga okuza ngokukholwa ungasekho umthetho.
My white South African background gives me no advantages in the kingdom. Your Zulu background gives you no advantages in the kingdom. That's the weak and useless covenant. It's Zulu and white and Jew. Coming to Christ. And we become one new man. A royal priesthood.
A
holy nation. Paul said in Philippians 3, I put no confidence in my flesh. People think, well, I've kept the law. 50%, 60%, 70%. Hey, I deserve something. No, that is self-righteousness. It has to be 100% obedience to the law. Otherwise, curse. Curse of the law. New covenant. Better covenant. It's nothing to do with us. It's faith in everything Jesus did for us. The reason why the truths of grace put peace in our heart.
It's
because it takes the focus off us. Takes it off us.
And
it puts the focus on Jesus. And the glorious fact that we are in Christ Jesus. If I put this piece of paper inside my Bible, and it's got a few things wrong with it, still a few wrinkles and blemishes. But I put it inside my Bible. Then wherever this Bible goes, this piece of paper goes. Even if it's still got a few wrinkles. Maybe a few dirty spots on it still. Everywhere this Bible goes, this piece of wrinkled paper goes. You are seated in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. This covenant is not weak and useless. Because it doesn't depend on you or me at all. It depends 100% on Jesus.
0%
on us. Only that we believe. If this piece of paper is not inside my Bible, it can be trampled underfoot by the devil every day. It will become more sinful. It will become more broken and destroyed. Like many church people. And we can say, do the law. Come on, try harder. And we're just stamping on it more. It's weak and useless. But take this paper and put it into the loving arms of Jesus. Into the Son of God. And wherever this Bible goes, that paper goes there as a joint equal heir with Christ and the heir of God. No laws. No deserving. Outside of us. It's what he did on our behalf. There's no height that you cannot ascend to. Because on the cross, there was no depth into darkness and wickedness that Jesus did not descend to on our behalf. On the cross, Christ identified with us at our worst.
Christ wafana nathi ebuthakathakeni obupheleleyo bethu.
So that in the resurrection we can be identified with him at his best.
Ukuze ekuvukeni kwakhe sifane naye uma esephelelisiwe.
You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Yekulunga kukaNkulunkulu kuChrist Jesu.
Is this good news?
Oh.
What time does the session finish? What time? Minutes, Jabula. Yes, Jabula. Yes. Okay. Well, what time do we finish this one? Does anyone know? Terry. When you're confused, just call Terry.
I am so glad.
What time is tea? Really? Abe. Okay.
Okay. We make our own rules. Right. Terry is not here.
Okay. Great. Okay, let's turn to Romans chapter 5, please.
Okay, we still have 20 minutes to go. Okay.
Can everyone stay awake for 20 more minutes? He's working hard, yeah. He's doing a very good job. It's difficult to translate for me, but you're doing very good. Tell him.
I feel it in my heart. It's okay.
Yes.
It's okay. It's okay.
Okay, Romans 5.
Amaroma chapter 5. As kube again, bazalwane. Sifundeni. So puma ngo 11. Amaroma chapter 5.
Verse 19. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous.
I guess Romans chapter 5, verse 19.
Yeah.
Ngokuba njengalokho ngokunga laleli kwabantu kwamuntu munye abaningi benziwa izoni kanjalo ngokulalela kwamuntu munye abaningi benziwa abalungileyo.
Isn't that amazing? One man disobeyed,
indoda eyodwa engalalelanga,
and the entire human race were made sinners. The entire human race was condemned through the disobedience of Adam. Now it says the entire human race that believes is made righteous through the obedience of one man.
Bonke abantu balungisiswa ngokulalela kwayo.
The Bible's teaching that our sin did not make us sinners.
Phinda say it again, Rob.
The Bible is teaching in the whole chapter of Romans 5. You read the whole chapter?
Mawufunda yonke le chapter number 5.
You'll see from verse 12 all the way through to verse 19.
Yes.
You'll see from verse 12 to verse
19.
You see, it's teaching that mankind did not become sinners through our sin. Very important. We became sinners because of Adam's disobedience. See, it's the same like the new covenant.
Sure. We are fine in this woman.
This disobedience happened outside of us. We had nothing to do with Adam's disobedience. But when you read verse 12, you'll see that Adam's disobedience spread death, spiritual death, to all of us. Good. So we just sinned. And then the law was added, verse
20.
The law was added so that the trespass might increase. So where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So the law was not given to stop sin, but to make sin increase. Verse
20.
See, man was in a condition of spiritual death from first Adam. If it's very important we understand these things. Otherwise, we will not understand the gospel. See, because of Adam, we were all in a condition of spiritual death. But we didn't know we had that problem. So God, in His love, introduced the law so that sin would be exposed, get worse, increase. If you have a deadly disease like cancer or tumor, but it's not affecting your health yet, it's still early. So you're walking around, I'm okay, self-righteous, I'm not really sick.
So uhamba uhamba ngilamanda.
But your wife begins to see there are some signs that you are getting weaker. It says, please, husband, will you go to the doctor? No, I'm okay. Self-righteous.
Yeah.
So finally, the wife promises her husband very special things if he'll just go to the doctor. She smiles very nice. If you just go to the doctor, so husband says, okay. And he goes to the doctor, he says, hey, doctor, I'm not sick, I'm healthy. Look, I can pick the desk up, I'm okay. So the doctor realized this man doesn't know he has a condition of death. So he gives him x-rays.
emhlola emfaka izipopolo ngaphakathi.
Scans.
Amfuna amfaki ambuke ngaphakathi.
That show there's a growth there that's going to kill the man.
Abese mase ibuka bese ziyazi ukuthi hayibo khona into ekhulayo nje obecala unamandla nje efuna ukumbulala ingaphakathi.
And he shows the man for 1 hour, scans, x-rays. This is going to kill you. This is going to kill you. This is death. Until the man goes, oh, I'm in trouble.
How?
He humbles himself. And then the doctor says, we've got 100% cure for this problem. We can give you the operation or the medicine and we guarantee
100%
cure.
The man
repents. He repents of self-righteousness. He takes the cure. He takes the solution, the cure. And it's 100% successful. Now he's free.
Cure.
Cancer's gone. If that doctor still keeps showing him the x-rays and tells him, you're
going to
die, you're going to die. That is a criminal doctor.
No, doctor, is bullshit.
The x-ray has done its job. The x-ray is weak and useless. It cannot cure the cancer. All the x-ray can do is point out the faults, point out the
problem.
That is the purpose of the law. It increases. It increases sin. Until the person knows, I've got a condition. And once they come to Christ, that's the end of the law. Throw all the x-rays away. You never need them again. This is a eternal cure. He's enjoying the message so much. He's right. Even after you come to Christ and you make a mistake or you sin, you don't need the law again. It's weak and useless. Don't go back to weak and useless. You found the cure at the cross. All your sin, past, present, future, taken away. Colossians 2:14 says the law is cancelled. It's cancelled for those that are in Christ. For those that are outside of Christ, the law is still the x-ray. It is still the scan.
Hey,
is this clear?
Sure.
Never put God's people back under the law.
When
the Corinthian church was one of the most sinful churches, I've never met a church as sinful as the Corinthian church anywhere in the modern world. Maybe I haven't been to enough churches yet. But I told you how much sin the Corinthians were doing.
Paul didn't write to them and say, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not get drunk, thou shalt not be jealous of one another. With all of their sin, he did not put the law back on them. His correction was to remind them of who they were in Christ. He said, why are you having sex with temple prostitutes? You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He said, Christ has not left you. He says, you're making Christ one with Belial. He's saying, Christ isn't leaving you. He says, don't you know you're light? He says, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He does not put the law on them. He tells them who they are in Christ. And then he challenges them to be who they are. Amen. By the disobedience of one man, we were all in spiritual death. It happened outside of us. People say, well, that's not fair. That's Adam's fault. But God did this in his great love. Because through the obedience of the one man, we are made righteous. Can you say amen? You see, your security, your identity before God has got nothing to do with your obedience. It's reliant upon the obedience of one man and one man only. Now, Romans 1:5 says we are called to the obedience of faith. I live in Hong Kong by the obedience of faith. If I did what I wanted to do, I'd be back in South Africa living here. I believe in obeying God through faith. But my obedience does not make me righteous or unrighteous. It is the obedience of one man that makes me righteous. So if I ever lose righteousness, it requires Jesus becomes disobedient.
For me
to lose my righteousness, Jesus would have to be disobedient. Amen. How many of you, when we say to sinners that are in Adam, they're in first Adam, sinners in first Adam, unsaved, unbelievers in first
Adam,
we say to them, it doesn't matter how many good things you do, you're still a sinner in Adam. You cannot out-saint your sinhood. You cannot be saved by good works. So you can do all the good things you want in Adam, first Adam. It's like filthy rags. Yet those same Christians will say, to those that are in the greater one, Jesus, and his great obedience, we say to them, if you do enough sins, you will lose your salvation.
Because
he says, That is wrong teaching. That's teaching a more powerful first Adam than last Adam. If you could not gain salvation in Adam's disobedience by good works, you cannot lose your salvation by bad works in Jesus Christ.
You
see, Okay, that was a difficult one to understand, right? Because it's stretching. It's very far, that.
I'm trying to put it clear in Zulu.
Okay, very good.
I think people got it.
Yes, good. Okay, so let's finish here. This righteousness, you have been given a gift of righteousness through the obedience of one man, Jesus Christ. The New Testament was primarily written in Greek, ancient Greek. And this word righteousness here is the Greek word
dikaio.
And it means to be innocent.
Lisho.
So if there was a court case, say here in Zululand, up here, and someone was accused of a terrible crime and brought to the courtroom, and as the case proceeded, it became very obvious the man was guilty. And the judge said to the family, just before I give sentence, does the family have anything to say? And the family says, thanks, Your Honor. Thanks for a just court case. But we want to drop the charges and we want to forgive the accused. So the judge slams the gavel down, says, case closed. The man walks out forgiven. That's okay, but it's not that good news. Because for the rest of his life, people will know that's a forgiven, dirty criminal. For the rest of his life, he will live under the shadow of his crime. Yes, he's forgiven, but he has condemnation still. There are many Christians, they know they're forgiven, but they're still under condemnation. Because they're still living under a weak and useless covenant. This word righteousness, yeah,
dikaio.
This is what it means. Another court case. The accused has been tried. And as the case has been prosecuted and defended, it becomes obvious to everyone in the courtroom, all of the jury, everyone, the man is innocent.
He was living outside the country when the crime happened. 100% proof he's innocent. The judge slams the gavel down.
Shire.
He said, Dekaya, you are innocent. You are innocent. You are innocent. The man walks out with something greater than forgiveness. He walks out with innocence. This new covenant is superior. It's just as if you had never sinned. But it's better than that. It's just as if you obeyed perfectly your entire life. It's just as if you're perfectly innocent. And the Greek word in
Romans 4:8.
Is the word God is not pretending. These are facts and truth to the high court of heaven. When God looks at people in Christ, He sees that they have an innocence that's the obedience of the one man, Jesus Christ. When he looks at you and me, he sees innocence, righteousness. There's no record of sins, past, present, future. There's just a record of the obedience of one man. This is why it is called the good news.
And
the majority of Christians in our world today are confused. They're living between two covenants, the weak and useless one, superior one. Some days they believe this, and they feel so close to God. And then they hear the weak and useless covenant. And then they try that. The heart of fathers and mothers. Is to protect the people of God from the weak and useless covenant. And keep the church clear on the new covenant. So that people can grow and develop and mature.
Abantu bakhule bapheleliswe.
And this message must spread across Africa.
Bese le ndaba ihamba iAfrika yonke.
Africa has been evangelized.
Iseyishunyelwe kakhulu la eAfrika.
But it hasn't been taught this message by fathers and mothers.
Kodwa obaba noma abasifundisanga.
And this continent of Africa has been predestined by God to show the nations of the earth what can happen when the true gospel gets into the hearts of the nations of Africa. It will produce freedom, integrity, humility, and safety. There's wealth in Africa. Religion and politics has destroyed Africa. This gospel of the kingdom will empower Africa. And the nations will be amazed at the blessing on Africa. We see a new Africa. We see a new Africa in the light of the Lord.